Hey everybody, welcome back to Dive In, the radio ministry of Deeper Life Fellowship in Mobile, Alabama. I'm Pastor Mark Wyatt, and I'm glad you're with us. We conclude today our message, The Gospel of the Happy God. And if you would like to hear this message in its entirety, then I'll tell you how you can do that at the end here in just a few moments. So stay with us for part three of Gospel of the Happy God. And so Jesus tells these parables, and he focuses on the outrage of grace. And so he reveals God as a God of grace. Then, of course, Jesus reveals God as king over his kingdom. And he tells of what the kingdom is like. And he says, this is what it is to live under the rule and reign of God. Now, here's the deal, everybody. God has revealed himself the whole time. You see that he has never directed his anger or his wrath toward his people. He has reached all the way. He's the one that's come all the way down. And so God, who set the bow in the clouds, who pointed the arrows of judgment toward himself, Jesus takes those arrows as he stretches on the cross and is nailed to the cross. Jesus takes on himself all the arrows of the wrath of God against sin. You see, because if the wrath of God was always poured out on the enemies of God's people, well, who did Jesus say were the enemies of God's people? It wasn't Rome. It wasn't Babylon. You know who it was? It was sin. It was death. It was hell. It was the devil. Those are the enemies that God set out at the very beginning to destroy. Guys, it was never about political boundaries and geography. It was always about the enemies of our very lives, the enemies of our souls. And when Jesus stretched out on the cross and gave his life, all the arrows of the judgment of God against the enemies of the people of God were destroyed when Jesus died on the cross. It was done. That's good news. You have permission to rejoice. I know you wanted to anyway. So what does that mean then about how God feels about you? He gave us clues all along the way. Here's how I'm going to feel about my people in this new covenant. Here's how I'm going to feel about them. I'm going to rejoice with you. See, if we ask people, how does God feel about you? Most people would say, well, he loves me. Yeah, but that's different, though, because how many of you know love is a commitment of the will? You can commit to loving somebody, but that doesn't always define how you feel about them, right? But how many of you know, if you've been married for more than a couple of hours, you know that there comes a point real quick where the way that person feels about you directs the atmosphere of that relationship much more than their commitment to love you, right? You can have somebody that's committed to love you, but if they don't like you, it's not good. Or if you don't like them, it's worse. And so this is why, so too often though, we live our lives saying, well, I know God loves me, but he can't like me. There's no way he can like me. I haven't been good enough. I didn't have my quiet time long enough. I haven't been consistent enough. I haven't loved people well enough. You know, I did this the other day. I did that, or I haven't done that. And we do what God never did. We evaluate our relationship to him based on our performance, which is something God has never, ever done. He is always committed to love us and to be in love with us, regardless of our performance. Now, you say, Mark, doesn't the Bible say, though, that we can grieve the Holy Spirit? Yes, we can. We have the capacity to grieve the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means we do things or we don't do things in disobedience to the Holy Spirit of God, who's trying to show us how to live and walk in the blessings of this new covenant. When we do that, we have the ability, everybody, to break the heart of God. We can. We can break God's heart. But you know what, though? From time to time, I find that I've broken God's heart, and that breaks my heart. But you know what the fact is? I don't live in a continual state of grieving the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, if you're a believer, and I'll explain that in just a moment, you have a new nature so that you don't want to live in a way where you're continually breaking the heart of God. You don't want to do that. You can't just live that way. So we have the capacity, we have the ability to break God's heart, but we're not professionals at it. Okay? So we don't live in that way. Now, this is, if you have been what we refer to today as going through the cross, here's what that means. There must come a time in our lives, if we're really going to experience this relationship with God, there's got to come a time in our lives where we allow the price that Jesus paid on the cross to be applied to our personal sin. We've got to be able to say at some point, God, if what Mark is saying is true, if Jesus died on the cross to take the arrows of your judgment so that I don't have to take them for my sin. If he took your judgment for my sin so that I don't have to, can I get some of that? I'd like to get in on that. Y'all, listen, can I say something to you? Those of you who've been here at all, you know this is kind of par for the course. We don't talk much here about, you need to ask Jesus into your heart. I mean, that's okay, but here's how I want to talk to you about it. We encourage people not to just ask Jesus into your heart and receive eternal life, although that's okay, there's nothing wrong with that, but I think it's more accurate scripturally to talk about us encouraging one another to give our lives to Christ. Let's give him our lives. Man, let's not worry about what's in it for me. Let's not worry about what do I get from this thing. What does he get? And I'm telling you, he should get a lot more than he got, but this is what you paid for. You bought and paid for me. Good luck with that. here I am. I surrender all just as I am. And he says, I knew exactly what I was getting when I paid for you. And I couldn't want you anymore. And so he paid a price for you knowing exactly what he bought. Listen, there was no buyer's remorse in heaven. He did not have to keep his receipt. Do you understand that? He's not taking you back. It is not exchange. He's not saying, this one didn't perform like I thought it might. No, he's saying, I know exactly what I got, and that's why I bought you. In fact, Jesus is like the one who takes you home. I know where you're defective. I'll get you fixed up. See? And then he fixes you, and he makes you new. See? Better than when he bought you. It's an amazing thing. So, Jesus, then, so there's got to be a time where we, if we're really going to experience life with God, not just heaven after we die, but real life with meaning, with purpose, enjoying a relationship with God. Here, do you know why God created you, everybody? You know why? Don't let anybody tell you that God created man because he was lonely, because out of his need for fellowship. I've heard that preached. I probably preached it myself, God forbid. But I probably have. Sometime in my past. Don't let anybody tell you that anymore. Because God didn't have any needs. You understand? He doesn't lack anything. He's complete. So he didn't create us. He didn't create man out of a sense of need. He created you because God really enjoys being himself. He enjoys being God. He has so much fun being God. It's like one day God looked at God the Father. He looked at God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and said, I enjoy us so much. Let's create somebody who can enjoy us as much as we enjoy being us. And so he created people so that we could get in on enjoying him as much as he enjoys being him. See? And so he enjoys us enjoying him. You understand what I'm saying? He's not mad at you. He is, as my kids would say, he is happy at you. I love that because this is real directional kind of deal with that. He's not just happy about you. God is happy at you. If you have come through the cross, that's the way he feels about you. Now, wait a minute. If there has never been a time in your life where you've made that decision for that transaction to take place, if there's never been a time in your life where you have agreed with God that you've sinned, that's what the word confess means, to agree. If you've never agreed with God that you've sinned and asked for that transaction to take place so your sins are paid for, you're forgiven, and now you receive the life of God and you give him your life, if that's never happened, then let me tell you how God feels about you. Jesus told a story about a woman who had a coin that was lost. It was one of a set of 10 coins, very valuable coin for her, very special. And she lost it, and so what she did was she tore her house to pieces trying to find that coin. And when she found it, she was so excited that she called all of her friends and neighbors and she threw a party because she found the coin. Listen, the coin was lost. You know what that means? It was missing. If you have never come through that transaction of the cross, let me tell you how God feels about you. He's missing you. That's right. See, he misses you. He wants you close. He wants you home. He wants you to know him. And when he finds you, when you allow yourself to be found, you know what happens? Jesus said, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 people who don't or who don't need to. And so what happens is right now you're missing. But when you get that transaction applied to your life, the Bible says God has a wonderful time and he throws a party to welcome you into the family. So do you understand something? No matter where you stand in relation to the cross, either way, he's not mad at you. His wrath was reserved for his enemies, our enemies, and he destroyed those on the cross. Jesus took those arrows of the judgment of God. The judgment of God now is not reserved, for the wrath of God is not reserved for you. He's not mad at you. He's happy at you. Now, he might be missing you, and you need to get to the place where he's just happy, where you're enjoying him as much as he's enjoying you. So today, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you an opportunity. It's going to be very easy. I'm going to give you an opportunity to have that happen in your life. Do you know that can happen just like that? And so here's what I'd like to do. In fact, you know what? I'm not going to have you stand, because you know what happens? A lot of times we'll say, would you stand with me? And people stand, they start thinking about, okay, I've got to go, where are my keys? And I've got to go to the car, and let's see, where are we going to go? Did I take the ham out of the oven? You know, that's not what this is about, okay? So here's what I want you to do. I want you just to right where you are, if you would, just bow your head, close your eyes, just to help you focus on what we're going to talk about over the next moment, okay? Just focus for a moment longer on what we've been talking about. And I want to help you apply this transaction to your life. If you're in this room today and you know there's really never been a time where you have agreed with God that you've sinned and that you deserve judgment, but you agree and you think it's a good thing now that Jesus took the judgment for you, if you want the forgiveness of God to be applied to your life, here's what he will do. He will wipe away every sin you've ever committed. Doesn't matter what it is, it does not matter. He'll wipe it all away, and today you can be, as Jesus said, born all over again. You can be born again. You can have a new life, a new start today. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, today is time for your new start. And I beg you, don't leave this room without a new heart, without the capacity, that being made alive so that you can enjoy God as much as he wants to enjoy you. Here's how you do that. I'm going to pray a prayer. You can pray along with me. You can say it out loud. You can say it under your breath. You can just say it in your heart. But get your heart in line with this prayer, and God will do a miracle in your life right now today. In your spirit, he'll give you a new heart. Just say something like this. Dear God, if what Mark is saying is true, I want that. God, I know that I've sinned. That's not a point of debate. I'm not going to try to defend myself. I know that I have sinned in my life. I know that. And I know that because of sin, sin is so not you that you can't have sin in your presence. And so I know because of my sin, the judgment that should come to me is judgment of being separated from you forever. But if what Mark is saying is true, then I want to thank you today that Jesus willfully, gladly, took my punishment for sin on himself so that I would never have to be judged but instead I can know you. So God, right now, I choose to give you my life. I want to know what it is. I want to learn what it is to know you, to really have a relationship with you like never before. I want to do that. Please forgive me of all my sin. Make me new today.
Now, if you just prayed that prayer with me or something like it, then congratulations. You have a brand new life. The Bible says your life has started over. It's like being born all over again. Or maybe today you realize God's not mad at you and you've come back home. Well, welcome home. Thank you for joining us for Dive In and this message, the Gospel of the Happy God. If you'd like to hear it in its entirety again, you can go to our website, deeperlifefellowship.com or dlfmobile.com. Again, that's deeperlifefellowship.com or dlfmobile.com. I'm Pastor Mark Wyatt. We'll see you again next time on Dive In.